You're listening to the Sacred Commons Podcast, an ancient future church of Youngstown, Ohio.
This is a reading from the Gospel of John, chapter 20, verses 19 through 31. When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." So the words of the resurrection. That's why we say it to each other every week. Peace be with you. After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." But Thomas, my dude, who was called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the marks of the nails in his hands and put my finger in the mark of the nails and my hand in his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were again in the house and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these signs are written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing you may have life in his name. The Gospel of the Lord. Thank you. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. You may be seated. Oh, hello. Hello. Well, I just want to start by saying it's been a hell of a week, and that's not a bad thing necessarily, and I'm going to talk about why. It's been a really stressful time, not just for me, but for so many people in our community who we all love and care about. Many of you know Sister Jones, Sandra Jones. I just heard from Mel yesterday that she was doing okay. She had radiation treatments on her brain. She's doing okay, and then kind of relapsed into just being disconnected and not really making sense. And we're going to keep praying for her. We love her. This is a woman that means a lot to us. She's been a motherly presence here. I have cried much. I have shed many tears over many things over the past week. And then yesterday, I'm losing track of time and space. So I'm with God right now, who transcends time and space. And it's been rough. I was taken to the emergency room. I didn't want to go. And then sometimes pain hits a level where you're like, okay, I gotta go. And I was taken to the emergency room because I had a colitis outbreak. And these things happen. One of the things, I'm going to say this, this has nothing to do with anything, but I'm going to say it. When people go through physical illness, don't try to rationalize it. And don't try to tell them what they did wrong or what they could be doing right. Just be with. Because we all have bodies and our bodies will break down from time to time. Fortunately, I have people in my life who don't try to reason away my suffering. And I want to thank Diana because through the whole night, and it was all night, she was by my side. And she ended up selfishly taking over the hospital bed so she could rest, but I'm just going to say, I understand completely. Yeah. She said, when I left for the CAT scan, the bed was open, so she was able to rest. One of the things that happens when you have ankylosing spondylitis and colitis and all these things, anytime your immune system acts up, you get something called brain fog. So if I say something that doesn't make sense today, just blame it on that and I'll feel a lot better. But hopefully you'll hear my heart. Today we see Jesus appearing to the disciples and he's bearing his scars. And I love this text. This is a text for me, and I hope it's one for you too. I want to say something really important. Pain and suffering and joy and hope are going to be bound up in your life in the same moment. And it doesn't mean for 1 minute, if you experience pain and suffering, that God is not active in your life. There's been this lie that we've been told that when God is moving and acting in your midst, or if you're a person of true faith, this is a lie that I've heard. If you're a person of true faith, then your life is going to move from joy to joy, from triumph to triumph. That's utter nonsense. If Christ is God and he bears his wounds, there has to be something within us that takes a moment to ask the question, maybe we need a God that bears his wounds. And maybe in our wounding or being wounded, maybe God is still present and active in our lives. So joy and pain, suffering and hope can be bound up in your life at the same time. You could be celebrating something unbelievably joyful and going through hell. Never think. We need to stop thinking that God is not active or that he's only here and not there. So I just want to tee this up by saying that. The hardest week of my life also had joy in it. I want to talk about you. You as human beings, to be a human is to incur scars. It's going to happen. You're going to be scarred. And Lord have mercy, Chris always says this, we are both wounded and we wound. So we're going to unfortunately create some scars too. Lord have mercy on us, right? But I want you to know that it's in fact your scars that make you capable of bringing peace into someone's life. Not as great as your triumphs are, and as great as our Instagram posts are, man, we need to understand that it's in our wounds that we can extend our hands like Christ to somebody and say, peace. We can speak peace to them. And that peace orients itself right from there. Right from there. Right from our wounds. That was kind of Spider-Man-ish. It would be nice, wouldn't it, if your life was able to go the whole way from start to end without wounds? That'd be great. If we were able to go through this life and not have pain and not have suffering and not experience those wounds without any setbacks and wounds. But William Willimon has a quote, and I just want to share this with you. He said, in a funny way, the things that make you the most interesting, and I believe this, I know all of you here, maybe you could say, you don't know all of me, but I want to. I'm not interested in church life that's filled with pretense. I'm really not. Like, we should be able to come here and be completely transparent. Like, today was a hard day for us. And I love the way you started it, because you said, sometimes the win is you showed up. That's going to be the case in our life. You showed up, you're breathing. God is good. He says, in a funny way, the things that make you the most interesting, the things that give you depth, are the scars, our wounds, because that's what makes us human, the substance of life. And I think that's what community is. Church, unfortunately, at its worst, can be performative. It can become this saturation of pretense. But I think real Christian community is not that. It's when we can say, touch my wounds. And in the same breath, say, and peace be with you. Is this all right? God shows up in Christ, says, put your finger, there's the Spider-Man thing again, put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. I have to read you this quote from Carrie Jo Verhelst, because I think this is the heart of what I'm trying to say. Jesus honors Thomas's need. This is why we need Thomas. because his need is our need. Jesus honors Thomas's need and invites him to reach into his wounds, where Thomas finds, this is a theological word here, hypostatic union. Hypostasis is a Greek word that refers to like sediment. It means that there is a bond, that there is unbreakable unity. And we use that term hypostatic union to talk about the natures of Christ, so that he was both human and divine at the same time. Thomas discovers, listen to this, a hypostatic union of life and death, sorrow and joy, bound together in healing flesh. And that's my prayer for us today, that your life, sorrow and joy, can be bound up together in a healing body that is not immune from the suffering of the world, but that's gone through it. And because you've gone through it, you can show up in the lives of your neighbors and the people that you love. And instead of acting like, I'm trying to think of what church people say. I don't hang around them too much, so I don't know their jargon, but they say things like, victory in Jesus, and there you go. Yeah, where they just want to sound like they're moving from victory to victory. Everyday victory, that sort of jargon. Please know that your wounds will heal your neighbor much more than pretending like living on top of the world. Peace is offered through extended hands of still raw wounds. That's where peace comes from. That's the same peace we offer to each other. Can I read you a poem? Yeah. The other gods were strong, but you were weak. They rode, but you stumbled to your throne. To our wounds, only a wounded God can speak. And not a God has wounds, but you alone. Thank you. Yes. I don't know the poet who wrote that, but I love that poem. I need a big amen on this if you agree. The resurrection doesn't fix the cross, because the cross doesn't need fixed. And this is like at the heart of Paul's work. Paul talks about how to the world the cross is foolishness, but to those who are being saved, that's a good answer if someone asks you if you're saved. You just look at him and say, I'm being saved. Paul says to those who are being saved, the cross is the power of God, the power of salvation. So the cross doesn't need fixed. We don't preach Christ resurrected. We preach Christ crucified. That's what the table is every week, every week. And here's the reason why I think that matters. We need to make sure that our Christianity stays wounded. We need to make sure that our faith and the way we embody the faith stays wounded. Rowan Williams, gotta love Rowan Williams. To say that Jesus is Lord means that in all human experience, even the most hellish, he is there. That's what it means to say Jesus is Lord. Not we don't say Jesus is Lord so that we can like dominate our neighbors, for heaven's sake. We've seen that kind of Christianity, and we know where that ends up. But when we say Jesus is Lord, what we mean by that is even in the most hellish experiences, he's there. So when I'm in the hospital and it's 4 a.m. and my wife has taken my hospital bed. No, I wanted her to. Diana's the best. She did have to drive home. That's a good justification. That's right. So when you're in the hospital, so when I'm in the hospital, I said this, I don't know who I said this to, because last week was a blur, but I said, if our faith isn't good news for the people in the hospital beds, if it's only good news for the folks walking out of the hospital and not the people in the hospital beds, we don't have good news. And so when we say Jesus is Lord, what we mean by that is he's Lord, meaning he's there, even in the hellish experiences that we have. This okay? Vay, here's Vay for you. We must prefer a real hell, to an imaginary paradise. That's the type of faith that I want. I'd rather have a faith that places me in a real hell than an imaginary paradise. You know why? Because if we don't embrace a faith like that, we'll create hell by trying to avoid it. And that's what we see in the world. Making hell by trying to avoid it. Everybody out for themselves. This is why we have a lot of smart people, but not too many wise people. Cornel West riffs on this. We have smart people, but not compassionate people. We have smart people, but not wise people. We have smart people, but not loving people. Intelligence is at an all-time high. Compassion is at an all-time low. Because the minute we think that we can engineer our way out of hell, we'll make it. And so what we need are people in the church, in the faith, who can actually embrace hell. And here's the reason why, and I'm done. I'm going to shut up now. I heard a story of a woman who was assaulted. True story. And she came to church and she bore this story to her pastor. She said it. She spoke it. And that's what church is for. Read the Psalms. Complaining in the midst of the congregation. If we're not capable, if we're not free to complain in the midst of the congregation, like the psalmist, you know what will happen? Then we will take that pain and then flesh it out in damaging ways. We have to have a safe space for us to gather together and say, this is my hurt, this is my pain, this is what I've been through, this is what I'm going through, and in the same breath, have someone say to us, peace, shalom, wholeness, wholeness to that place in your life. And you don't need to get rid of those wounds. The resurrection does not erase the wounds. The resurrection gives us the Spirit of God so that we can live with each other in the midst of those wounds. That's what the resurrection does. It fills us with the life of God so that we can bear each other's wounds. And if you can't come to church and be free, what kind of church are we? This woman came to church and she said, she told her pastor, true story, I was just assaulted a week ago. And she began to weep and tell the pastor what happened. And then she said, I need to talk to Joe. And the pastor said, why Joe? She said, I need to talk to Joe because Joe has been through hell and back. And Joe will understand what I'm going through. Joe had been through hell and back, and Joe was one that the world would consider to be a failure, because that's what the world considers to be failure. The world tells us if you live right and if you're smart enough, you'll be able to make it through without wounds. You'll be able to live the good life, retire well, 3 rooms, 2.5 baths, 2-car garage. 2.5 children. That one always blows my mind. I'm like, what's 2.5 children? There you go. Retirement, big bank account. And then at the end of your life, you'll be in Cancun. And you know what that narrative really tells us? This is how you can navigate life without wounds. That's what the world says to us. Not what the gospel says, though. And definitely not what Christ is saying. Here you have Joe, the one who has failed the most, who's been through hell and back, but Joe is the one who becomes the very means of healing somebody. Maybe there are wounds that can't be healed except by a wounded healer who says peace. That's it. Maybe there are wounds that can't be healed except by a wounded healer who says the words peace. Let me pray for you. If you have been through hell and back, if you're in hell right now, that kind of hell with Christ is better than a pretend paradise. And so my prayer for you today is this. Lord, in your mercy, speak peace to our wounds so that we can bear our wounds to one another. And in the act of bearing our wounds to each other, your life can come. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for listening to the Sacred Commons podcast. For service times, videos, and more information about the life of our community, visit thesacredcommons.com.